podcast party. Descent into Avernus.
My name is Renaissance. I'm the Watcher. Years ago, I promised my brother and myself that I'd protect our world from outsiders. Fiends, fae, aberrations, elementals, and the like. Then I died, and I made a deal with a devil named Gargoth, who said he would allow me to come back to life. Now he says he wants to collect on that deal.
Renaissance, I know you and I, well, we don't often see eye to eye. I do hope you enjoy the Wandering Emporium, though. Seems like you and your friends needed a break. I found it most entertaining, to be honest. I've been wondering about something since last we spoke. May I ask you a question?
Go on.
Why do mortals lie to the ones they love the most?
Well, you're as clever as you say you are, Gargs. I reckon you know the answer to that one. There are truths we keep from ourselves because we don't want to look at them. If those truths are spoken by the people we love, then we have to acknowledge them. We have to look in the mirror, see our real faces. And mortals hate doing that. I might believe something about myself might be true. If someone I love knows it, then I have to know also that it's true.
So you lie to protect the ones you love, then?
I think that's another lie that we tell ourselves. The truth is, we lie to protect ourselves, most of all, from being seen by them.
So, in truth, mortals lie for essentially the same reasons that fiends do. Needless to say, we fiends do so as our very existence depends upon it. For us, it is a necessity, but you do it out of your own selfish, personal reasons. Would you say that you know of the lie of which I am speaking?
I reckon I've told lots of lies in my life. Not sure exactly which one you're on at the moment.
I'll be more specific. The lie you spoke just before you died. The one you spoke to Hyrum. You said, it's going to be all right. But you knew it wasn't, didn't you? You knew very well that with you gone, your friends would rather leave the shield which I imprisoned behind for it to be found by less trustworthy beings, or would take it up in their foolish quest to defend the pitiful mortals within Elturel. And in your selfishness, you chose to come back, afraid that they would be unable to resist my influence, or perhaps unable to complete the mission without you.
Maybe pride more than selfishness, but yeah, pretty much.
Pride. A sin of which I am happy to say that I see in many mortals. Not to say that you are wrong for having pride, such a crew of compatriots you've collected. Corbin entangled over and over in rat traps of his own making. Ophelia, so innocent, yet truly a perpetrator of such horror, which she desperately yearns to forget. And Hyrum, who has lived her life amongst criminals, yet takes her orders from angels. But you, Renaissance, you are different. You are different from them. Much more than you think you understand. That is why I granted you my favor. That is why I allowed you to come back.
Now who's lying?
Oh, yes. A lie. Perhaps seen from one perspective, you feel that you've been treated unfairly.
I didn't read the fine print, did I? You told me you would allow me to come back. Didn't occur to me to question whether you had any ability to prevent it. Turns out I bought nothing. Isn't that right? Nothing I didn't already have, and you got what you wanted.
That is one way of seeing it, yes. One might call that an equivocation of sorts. Yet you equivocate as much as I do. Never accept gifts or favors from fiends. Is that not what the Oath of the Watchers tells you?
Yeah, wrote it myself.
You make your own rules, then, and you break them just as easily. You made a blood pact with an undead scion of Xeriel. You accepted the favor of the Night Hag Mad Maggie, who furthered your quest.
Didn't take any favor from Maggie.
Do you take favor from me every time you lift this shield to protect yourself and your friends? You could have thrown this vessel in which I am entrapped into the Styx many a time on your journey, and yet you did not.
I reckon you're right there.
Renaissance, I do not wish our relationship to be an unattractive one, but consider this, that who you truly are and who you truly serve may not be what you have thought. But it is you like talk too long. To the point, shall we discuss the terms of our arrangement?
Go on.
I said I would allow your soul to return to your body, terms to be discussed at a later time. And you agreed. And here you are, having agreed. Therefore my terms are this. You must swear to stay on this path, here in Avernus, doing what you feel is right, course, until you free me from this accursed shield. I think it's more than generous terms. Dare I say, it's a win-win for both of us.
Shall we say, until you are freed from the shield? I may have to outsource that particular job if I can't do it myself.
I accept that as a provisional agreement.
Yeah, makes me feel real good to know I'm getting good at this.
Guess it's part of who you are. That's all for now, Renaissance. Have a pleasant night.
And then he stops talking.
I conjure Mage Hand and I use it to fling the shield like 10 feet away into the soil of Avernus.
It kicks up a cloud of white and gray dust. Just lays there.
Outside the hut or inside the hut?
Probably like just inside the hut, but as far from me as possible while still within the hut.
Is everything okay?
Yeah. Just having a little conversation with our friend.
Useful as always?
Yeah. Useful.
Are you okay? Normally you're a little more dismissive of this. Seem worried.
You still got that ring?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, just keep it on, right?
I'm just gonna give you a hug. I'm just gonna hold you for a while. You seem worried.
So put both arms around her and let her like lie against my shoulder. Close my eyes for a moment. Drop one knee, my back against the war machine. Breathe in and out a few times. I open my eyes, stare past Hyland at the shield. Yeah. Nothing to worry about. It's going to be all right.
Man. Nice.
When Corbin sees whatever they're doing, like snuggling or whatever, he's going to try to go to the farthest place inside the hut that he can on the other side of the war machine. Going to sit down, hide his big frame as best he can, pull out some parchment and some ink, and he's going to start scribbling furiously and crossing it off. Come on, get it right. And he's just going to keep writing words over and over down on this piece of parchment. All right. And then he's going to count them. 4, 25. All right, that's it. Corbin is going to cast the spell called Sending, which lets him send a message to somebody, either on this plane or another. And when he does so, in his mind, he sees these hands sort of almost as if they're pulling the words from him and taking them off to wherever this other person is.
Right, Corbin, get it right. Rhea, it's Corbin. We're getting closer. Hold on a bit longer. We have faith in you. You're a hell rider. You truly are.
And then he realizes he forgot some of the words that were on his paper, and he gets nervous and he only has 3 left, and he just speaks from his heart and he says,
Raven God's a prick.
That's the end of his sending.
So true.
And she is allowed to respond to him. She knows it's actually him, and she can respond to him, assuming she's alive. And if she's not on this plane for any reason, there's a slight chance it won't work.
There's a pause, and you get a response about 45 seconds later in your mind. And it is the voice of Rhea Mantlemorn. It sounds worried. It sounds nervous, but there is still that faint glimmer of hope that may have been brightened somewhat by the message that you have just sent. And she says, thank you, Corbin. Maybe 5 days left. High Hall stands. The heart of this city remains beating, but perhaps not for long. Ravengard is a prick. And that's all.
All right. So he's happy she's alive. He's going to try to remember in the morning to tell his friends this message while they're eating their breakfast. He's out of third level spells, but he actually has a fourth level spell left.
All right. One more, Corbin. Who's the best person? Come on, who's the best person? Not that Silvera, not her, no. Someone's got to be better.
And he's sort of mumbling to himself.
Who do I talk to? All right.
And once again, he sees those hands pulling the words out of him as he casts the spell. And this time, I believe they are leaving the plane of Avernus and going back to their home plane.
Sister, it's me, Corbin. I'm in Avernus. Send help. Not for me. Find Traxagore the Weasel Wizard. Help defend Elturel. Redeem your soul. Goodbye.
And he did not actually contact his sister. He instead contacted Sister Averly Hollow.
There's a longer pause awaiting a response. But when it does come, you recognize the icy cold voice of Sister Averly Hollow lancing through your mind, cold but quiet. And she says, "Must I, Corbin? Elturel's needs are not of Baldur's Gate. They have never aided us. Let their insufficiencies burn away like deadwood." And that's all.
Corbin, it's very angry. Not that he knows what Ilmater wants, but the teachings of Ilmater are to help people, to help those who are downtrodden. Doesn't matter where they're from.
I'm going to haunt you every night, till you help.
The night goes as well as any night in hell. I think it's probably for the best that you all are in a place of relative safety and security inside this hut, because outside, God only knows what horrors could potentially await you. That doesn't necessarily prevent, however, the horrors of this place from intruding on at least one of your dreams. Lulu, who always curls up into a ball and sort of places her wings folded up behind her, begins to moan and toss. I would like to know what everyone's passive perception is. Even though you're technically all unconscious, I just want to sort of see if any of you could potentially wake up to this, at least briefly.
Renaissance is an 11.
Corbin has a 20.
Oh, wow. Okay, I think you're probably top of the pack here. Corbin, I think of the four of you, you are the one that most likely would wake up from the noise of this or Holly Fance nightmares. And I guess your eyes flutter open to hear this sort of whimpering sound. And you hear words coming out of her mouth like,
"No. No, why? Stop it. It's not you. Why are you doing this? No."
And she begins to cry in her sleep.
Corbin gets very uncomfortable, but he sees everyone else is resting.
Lulu? You all right?
As in a whisper.
She does not hear you. She's still moaning in her sleep.
Shit. Okay, what do I do? What do I do?
And he looks down at his hands. He sees the white palms and he sees that scar from when he picked up that fiend's weapon and burned his scar. And he goes,
"Right, hands. Okay, I know what to do."
And he walks over to Lulu quietly. He sneaks over as not to wake anybody else up. And he puts his arms around Lulu. Even though she's an Oliphant, he's got big, long bugbear arms. So he just kind of hugs her, which is weird because he's probably never hugged anybody at night in his entire life. Puts him all the way around as far as he can go with them. And then he just says, "It's going to be all right."
As soon as you start to speak with your arms around her, her eyes just fly open and she utters a shrill, trumpeted shriek.
"It's all right. It's me. It's Corbin. It's all right. You were having a bad dream. I hugged you. Is that all right? Should I let go?"
Her big blue eyes look into yours, and as you go to let go, her trunk wraps around your arm.
"All right. I didn't want to invade your space. I didn't know what to do.
No.
I panicked, and I hugged you."
Corbin.
"Yep.
It's all right. Thank you. I had a really bad dream.
You can tell me.
I think it's this place's way of, in a way, helping me remember things. I remember the day that Zariel became who she is."
"I'm sorry."
"It's all right.
You want to tell me?"
Yeah, sure. I guess. I remember watching with Yael from afar. Haruman and Olanthius, that they had already met whatever fate awaited them, and it was just the two of us left. Zariel had been horribly wounded, and she was bleeding on the shores of the Styx. All the Hellriders had issued a retreat, and there was nobody left but us. She screamed with such pain and anger. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know if I should reach out to her or do anything. Yael told me to stay quiet, that we had her sword, that we needed to keep it safe. And then he appeared. This being of such intense power and evil. I could feel it emanating off of him like waves of heat. Reached down to her. I didn't hear what he said, but she took his hand and she changed. Her beautiful hair burned away, leaving nothing but a halo of fire and vengeance. Her armor, beautiful and silver, turned black and hard. And then she stood up, and instead of her hand, where it was severed, there was a chain and some kind of metal object hanging out of it, like a sensor. It was smoking with fire. And then she smiled. She smiled at this evil god that made her the way she is. And she said these words that I'll never forget. This is who I am. When demons die, they will cry out my name in terror. And that's when I woke up.
That's, terrible. Sorry about that. I'm not good with words, you know. I don't know what to say. It's not your fault, though, right? You didn't do nothing. You're still who you were.
I guess you're right.
So, she made a deal.
I guess that's what happens down here the most, right?
How did you get away?
Yael took me, and we made it as far as we could before we were taken on by that gruesome thing. And then Yael was wounded. I think I told you about that before. After that, it gets kind of blurry. You know, after the sword and the citadel and the wound and everything.
What do you think this thing that's attached to her, this chain and this sensor, what do you think it is?
Some kind of weapon, I guess. It's something that she uses to instill fear in her enemies, like she said.
Lulu, and I'm not saying it's gonna happen, I'm just saying it might happen. If we have to fight her, I'm just being honest, I'll probably do everything I can to kill her. Not that I could, but you understand.
I do, but Corbin, I just can't believe there's nothing left of her. The sword is going to help everything. It's that little spark of goodness that's deep down inside her. We just have to make her remember.
All right, let's not worry about what might happen or might not happen. Let's live in the, you know, right now and stay on our quest. You've been really strong. I'm really proud of you. How good you've done down here with all this. You're quite, you know, amazing. Never met anyone like you. Stay strong, okay? You might have more bad dreams, but remember, they're dreams, all right? I've had bad dreams. Ren's had bad dreams. We all do down here. It's what this horrible place does. We gotta be better than it, though, all right?
Yeah, all right. Thanks, Corbin. You know, I haven't known you for very long, but you are a good person. All you are. Whatever you've done in the past or anything like that, we've all got things that we don't like about ourselves, but it's what we do from here on that makes a difference. You're a very important, very special person, Corbin.
And she comes over and she lays her forepaw on your face. And there's a glimmering golden light that appears. And you feel the worries of the world just ebb out of you. And she looks at her paw with surprise. She says,
I don't remember doing this. This is, whoa, I didn't know I could do this. This is kind of cool.
Thank you, I had a bad night myself, so, well, good and bad, but I needed that. I appreciate it.
Anything I can do, Corbin.
We're, what's the word? Not gang. We're a team, right?
Yeah, a team. A good team.
We're a good team.
Ah, Corbin. I hate it here, I'll be honest.
It's really hot.
Yeah, but listen, if I was destined to end up in such a miserable place, I'm glad that it's with all of you.
Maybe we're done. I could send you back to Celestia.
Huh, Corbin, that's real sweet. I certainly don't want to live here.
Not me neither.
Yeah, like y'all say, let's cross that bridge when we get to it.
Do you mind if I just sleep next to you like this for tonight? I could turn over. I'm a bit smelly, I know. Sorry.
Oh, I don't mind at all. It's all right.
Right.
She sort of becomes the little spoon. In case you all were wondering, she did now gain a new ability, which she can do twice a day, and that is the spell Protection from Evil and Good.
What does that do, Matt?
One willing creature is protected against certain types of creatures, aberrations, celestials, elementals, fae, fiends, and undead. And all right. Creatures will have disadvantage on attack rolls against the target that's touched. Target can't be charmed, frightened, or possessed by them. And if the target's already charmed, frightened, or possessed, the target has advantage on any new saving throw against the effect.
Cool.
So the day, so to speak, dawns after a long rest, which you all get. So you all have now all of the effects of a long rest.
Cool.
Hi, everybody. The show will be back shortly for the second half. First, it's time to tell you about how you can play D&D with us and how you can make a special cast party podcast mini-series happen. As Tal mentioned last week and won't shut up about, Secrets of the Blind Palace, his Dungeon Masters Guild Gold best-selling adventure, is almost a platinum bestseller on DM's Guild. Thanks to all of you, we have an updated count. We now need 26 more copies sold to get there. If you, the listeners, can make Secrets of the Blind Palace go platinum on DM's Guild, Cast Party will record a special actual play miniseries of it and release it as a podcast. So, if you want to hear that show, go buy Tal's Adventure. It's only $2.99 to get the PDF, or for $6.75, you can get the bundle that has both the PDF and the Roll20 version. Either of those purchases will count towards making it go platinum. It's a 4 to 7 hour Dungeons & Dragons adventure for 3 to 7 characters of levels 1 to 4. The wealthy Von Crofts hire a party of adventurers to find the body of their dead son in a haunted pleasure palace and to bring him back to life. To aid in their quest, the resurrectionists are provided with a guide, the only survivor of the previous expedition. Go buy it at dmsguild.com or follow the link in the show notes. Would you like to send a telepathic message into another plane of existence like Corbin did in this episode? Cast Party's professional dungeon masters are available to hire for online games. We have games for kids as well as adults, and our DMs can run almost any of the official Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition adventures, as well as third-party adventures, and even some we've created ourselves. We can also run games for Pathfinder 2E, Blades in the Dark, Dungeon Crawl Classics, Alien the Role-Playing Game, Monster of the Week, and others. Check us out at cast-party.com and follow us on Facebook at CastPartyDND, on Twitter at CastParty2, on Instagram at Cast_Party, or on TikTok at Cast_Party. As always, we're offering monthly free adventures with our Dungeon Masters. These free games fill up quickly, so if you'd like to grab a spot, you should join our email list or our Discord server. Links to both can be found at cast-party.com. Save the date, because the May free game will be a kids game live in person with our very own Andy Canistra as the Dungeon Master on May 20th at 2 p.m. at Hudson Valley Writer Center in Sleepy Hollow, New York. Visit cast-party.com for details. You can watch episodes of Podcast Party on YouTube, complete with artwork, battle maps, character portraits, and even a little bit of animation. You can also catch episodes of our monthly chat show, Power Word Talk, on our YouTube channel as well. Check the show notes for the link or visit cast-party.com. If you enjoy Podcast Party, please follow the show, rate us, and leave us a review. We'd love to hear from you. Message us on social media or email us at info@cast-party.com. Follow us on Facebook at CastPartyDND, on Twitter at CastParty2, on Instagram at Cast_Party, or on TikTok at Cast_Party. Thanks very much for listening. And now back to our adventure in Avernus. Corbin, you wake up refreshed, Lulu sort of still gently snoring in your arms.
Adorable.
When everybody wakes up, Corbin's just going to tell everyone that
I talked to Rhea last night, and it's tough, but they're holding on. They got about 5 days, not to rush us or anything, but that was her guess, how long they could hold out.
Oh my god, that's not a lot of time, but I'm glad they're okay. Thank you for doing that.
Cheers for that, Corbin. Yeah, we've got to pick up the pace.
Right.
Anybody got anything they want to do before we head over there?
Corbin is actually going to cast Aid, third level. He's going to give each of his friends and Renaissance and Highland.
Thank you.
Above your max. You go above your max, so 10. And they can be healed back.
Wow.
And it lasts 8 hours.
Thank you. What a great spell. I just call Lily over to me and jumps into my arms and I carry her out.
All right, let's go.
Finally, you come to probably within 100 or so feet of the obelisk. And when you arrive, you see a 30-foot tall obelisk made of some kind of black stone, ringed by 7 smaller standing stones, which rise from the crest of this hill. And even from this distance, you see that there is a figure striding between the standing stones. He's wearing long, bluish-black, tattered robes. Although you can't hear what he's saying, he's sort of gesticulating wildly at no one in particular.
Oh good, he seems stable.
Mordenkainen said we'd find a mage of little renown here.
Maybe he's doing a magic spell right now. Should we wait and see what happens?
Not a bad idea.
By observing him, can we determine if he is casting a spell of some kind?
You can make either a perception or an arcana check.
Corbin rolled a 26 on his perception.
Highland rolled a 20.
Renaissance actually got a 21 on his perception.
All right.
Nice.
We're all pretty perceptive.
Ophelia rolled a 22.
Wow, all 4 of you above 20. Amazing.
Good night's sleep.
You've been around casters of all kinds, whether they be friends or foes. It seems like this particular individual does seem to be casting some kind of spell. You don't see any kind of arcane auras or anything like that, but just in the way that he's moving his arms, it does seem to be the imitation of some kind of spell casting technique.
I will start walking towards the circle.
You want me to stay back here just in case or go up?
I think we'd better stick together.
All right.
You're probably about 60 or 70 feet from the circle of stones. And even at this distance, you'd think this guy would probably turn around and see you, but he doesn't seem to pay you any notice. He's sort of standing there, gesticulating, moving his arms back and forth. And I think you probably are close enough to hear sort of words emanating from this guy. They are in a language which I, unfortunately, none of the languages that you guys all know.
And he just looks like a guy?
You're pretty close to him. You could see that he's a tall man. He's got sort of wild white hair, at least from the back. Can't really see his face yet.
Wait, Ren, wait.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a wizard. Maybe he's got magics around him, keeping him safe. Who's good at looking for that sort of thing? I'm not. I mean, I could try. Island?
I could do my best. Definitely not an expert in that.
Is there anything physically around him, Matt?
He's in the middle of the stones themselves. The obelisk itself is sort of a tall black stone, and around that obelisk are 7 other stones that look very similar to it, but smaller. And he's in the middle of all of the 8 stones.
So it's kind of like a henge.
Yeah.
But they're not glowing or anything like that?
No, they are not glowing at all.
Okay.
Can I get within 60 feet of him without crossing into the circle of stones?
You can move perhaps 10 or 15 feet towards him, and then you will be within 60 feet.
Solid. Once I'm within 60 feet of him and still outside the stones, I spin the dreidel in my hand. I will use Divine Sense.
Your dreidel spins from celestial to undead to fiend and glows with fiendish red light.
Oh, shit.
Is it coming from him?
You point the dreidel at him and your eyes trace up to where he is standing, and then he turns and notices you. Your dreidel is indicating him.
I catch it and I say, careful, everyone. He looks like a man, but he's not. He's a fiend.
He steps in your direction and says, is that what I am? I don't remember very much. Hi. And he waves in your direction.
Yeah, hi.
Corbin waves back. Insight check?
Go for it.
Yeah, I was about to do the same thing.
Yeah.
is this like befuddled? Is it an act or is he really befuddled?
That's an 18 from Ophelia.
16 for Renaissance.
It didn't occur to Corbin, so I'm not going to have him roll. He just thinks he's a weird wizard.
Highland got a 20.
It's very difficult to determine, actually.
That looks like an interesting spell you're casting. I'm a fellow spellcaster, as are some of my friends. What were you trying to achieve there?
These are very powerful magical object. I was actually trying to determine whether or not they would work the way I want them to. These are standing stones. I don't know if you know about standing stones, you'll know what these are for.
Let's assume we don't know what they're for.
Oh, well, they're keyed to the 8 schools of magic. Abjuration, conjuration, divination, enchantment, invocation, illusion, necromancy, and transmutation.
Of course, I was just checking if you knew.
I have a theory. This obelisk, and he points to the central one, it sort of grants a boost in arcane power to mages across the cosmos. And his eyes grow sort of wild. His hair starts to begin to float behind him in a very sort of Doc Brown kind of way.
What are you trying to amplify?
My power, as well as all users of arcane magic.
Oh, I see.
You live here?
No. Well, I've been here for, well, I don't know. I mean, I don't really remember.
Do you remember why you came here?
I guess it was because of these. And he points back at the obelisk. Memory's a funny thing. Lulu sort of points and she says,
well, he's right about that.
How long have you been here?
I think I don't really know. I feel like every day is strange. Time works differently here. This is the first plane of hell, Avernus.
Right.
Yes.
We was referred to you by a very powerful wizard who thought you might be able to lay hands on some Titan's blood for us.
Titan's blood? Ooh, that's very rare material. I don't know about that, but maybe I may know someone who does have that. I'll be more than happy to tell you if you help me with my experiment. What do you think?
Can I insight check him again to see if he's just lying about knowing anyone?
Yeah.
Just to trick us
sure.
into helping?
Absolutely.
This time I got an 18.
Thank goodness, because I crit failed.
Ophelia got a 21 on this insight check.
And Corbin's trying to wrap his head around how somebody can just be here between these stones and what this guy might want.
Of the three of you, Ophelia, you got the highest one with 21. You don't feel like he's lying, actually.
Who's this person you might be?
I'm not gonna do that. That's not very fair. I need help. I need to channel the streams of magic.
Could you tell us about the experiment you're conducting so we know whether or not we want to agree to help?
Of course. I can't do this all by myself, of course, because as you can see, there are a great deal of stones here. And the more the merrier, honestly. I know we don't have 8 people here, but... Well, let's see, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of you and 1 of me, that's a 6. So 6 should perhaps be at least a way of me substantiating some evidence about this particular item here. What you would do is, of course, find the stones that you find some affinity with. For example, abjuration, conjuration, divination, enchantment, etc., etc. You would find the stone that calls to you. Whatever kind of a person or adventurer that you may be. You would place your hands on the stone, and then I would work my ritual, and we would channel the streams of magic together.
And what exactly are you hoping to accomplish with this ritual?
To see whether or not the streams of magic can indeed be able to be used to bolster magical power throughout the cosmos.
May I speak to my friends for a second over here?
Of course.
And I'm just gonna, I'm just motioning you all a little bit out of earshot, and then I say, we don't really have a lot of time. Normally, I would be very careful about this, but I feel like we need to move. What do you think?
I think we've run out of options, right? We're still hoping that this is a better course than dealing with Arkhan the Cruel, so I think we better take our chances with him.
It can't be much worse than that.
I think he's crazy.
Yeah, and I think he's a fiend. And frankly, I'm completely 50-50 on whether he's playing with us or not.
Well, we need to do something.
Yeah.
Do we have any way to, I don't know, summon or call other creatures in that could touch the stones for us or something?
I have Mage Hand, but I don't know if it can activate something like that.
We could try that. Something tells me that's not going to cut it, but we could try it.
You're saying trip's not going to work?
Spectral hand is not going to function like an actual person?
Yeah, I feel like the Dukes of Hell wouldn't have designed it so that you could solve it with a cantrip, but that's just the impression.
Well, this creature seemed to think we could pull it off with just the number that we have, so let's try, because we have 5 days.
Does Lulu actually want to do it?
Do you have a voice here in 2023, Lulu?
Lulu looks at you, Corbin, and says, yeah, well, I mean, if this is our only choice, he may be a fiend, he may be crazy. It's five of us against one of him. I mean, come on.
Right.
I think it's worth a shot. I agree with Lulu.
We won't let him hurt you, Lulu. All right?
Oh, I can take care of myself, big guy. You don't want
to... Oh, I know you can. I've seen those tusks.
I keep them sharpened just for you.
Okay, while we're in the huddle, I'm just going to say, I think it would be best if we could communicate without this creature knowing what we're saying. I'm going to cast Psychic Whispers, and I'm going to roll a psionic energy die to see how many hours it will last for.
And how many people does it attach itself to?
Okay, three people, so I'm going to choose Ophelia, Corbin, and Renaissance, and it's good for 6 hours.
Lulu speaks telepathically, so she'll speak to you, and you can sort of translate out through the rest of the group.
Great, so now we have that just in case we need to be talking.
Corbin is going to touch Ren on the head and go, Ilmalta blesses you, and I'm going to give him a vigilant blessing, so he'll have advantage on the next initiative roll.
Cheers, Corbin. I also take Hyland by the hand and click our platinum rings together and cast Warding Bond on her.
All right, onward.
Yeah. All right, what magics do you guys want to pick?
Oh, good point. I'm quite familiar with abjuration and divination. I do that kind of magic quite a bit. Necromancy's got a scary name, but it could also be healing.
I like that one, to tell you the truth, but unless someone else wants it.
I could do evocation. I tend to do that.
Ophelia, I feel like, does a lot of illusion magic.
I want abjuration or divination. I think I'm going to go with abjuration, which is protective.
What about Lulu? What does she want?
So she's got a choice of conjuration, divination, transmutation.
Divination seems to make sense since you're trying to remember things.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I think we'll go with divination. Let me just see if I can track what I've got so far. It sounds like Ophelia's going for illusion.
Yes.
Renaissance is going for abjuration.
Yes.
Hyland, you're going for...
evocation.
And Corbin, you're going for...
necromancy.
You stand next to these stones, which are about 15 feet high. You note that they're not right next to each other. In fact, you're kind of well spaced out. Hyland, you're about, I don't know, 20 or 30 feet from where Renaissance is. Renaissance is actually touching the middle stone, because that's definitely the one that this gentleman indicates is abjuration. Corbin, you are probably about 30 or 40 feet from Hyland. You're off to sort of the side there, and you're closest to Ophelia, who's standing next to the illusion stone. Lulu is standing next to the divination stone. And this individual raises his hands and says, Oh, good. Okay, fantastic. Yes. Let's see if this works, shall we? He sort of flattens his hair out, holds his hands up, closes his eyes, and begins to chant again in that strange language that none of you have ever heard. And the skies above you darken. And as his chanting rises to a fever pitch, the clouds begin to pulse with energy, and 8 beams of lightning lance out of the clouds atop you and into the stones on which you have placed your hands. And I would like you... actually, there's no saving throw. I just deal the damage.
We all have 10 extra hit points.
Nope. That's true.
Not me.
For a few more seconds.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so let's see how much damage courses through your veins. That is 23 lightning damage.
Oh, boy. Oh.
Painful.
Okay, so due to the warding bond, Hyland is actually only going to take 11 points of lightning damage instead of 23. However, I will take 11 points of extra lightning damage.
Oh, no.
So that's 34 total then.
So I take 34, Hyland takes 11.
Hyland, you... look down at your hands as they've been very badly burned from this lightning, and the stone in front of you glows with this strange opalescent light, and then it pulses 5 times. Since you're standing right next to it, unfortunately, you take all 5 of these as 5 magic missiles ram right into your chest.
Wow, this is a fun game. I'm sorry. Oh, sorry I said this is a good idea.
It's 1d4 plus 1 times 5. Here we go. Okay, so that's 25 damage.
Again, because of the warding bond.
Oof. Oh, my God.
Hyland takes 12, and I take 12.
Ugh.
The thing is, though, that's I can take it more than she can, which is the idea behind this spell.
Yep.
So, yeah, she takes 12 force, and I take 12 force.
I think this is making me stronger somehow.
God.
Make a wisdom saving throw, please, Ophelia.
12.
12, unfortunately, is a failure. Ophelia, you drop to your knees after having taken this enormous bolt of lightning through your arms and into your body, and you sort of shiver with pain and a little bit of exhaustion, and you clear your eyes, and standing in front of you is Dr. Hulk Finster.
Uh-oh.
You are absolutely frightened out of your mind as he holds a scalpel to you. He's not saying a word, but he's just coated in blood and he's covered in broken glass. So you are technically frightened, and it's going to last for 1 minute.
I think she's just frozen in place then.
None of you see what she is absolutely terrified of. She's just standing there, frozen with fear and shock.
What's going on, Ophelia? What's wrong?
You don't see it? He's right there.
Ain't nothing there.
I don't know what you're talking about. I can see him clear as day.
It's not real. It's this magic. It's the magic.
The scalpel comes closer to your throat, Ophelia.
You touched the illusion stone, Ophelia. It's an illusion.
Close your eyes. Close your eyes.
I don't know what that would be. Like, can I make a throw? Like, the information they're giving me would make sense that it would be an attempt to shake me out of it, right? Like, what would I...
I will allow you to make a wisdom saving throw, but because you have everybody trying to tell you, I'll give you advantage on it.
That's a 14.
That's a success.
All right.
The illusion melts away in front of you.
Is this all part of your experiment? Because I've got notes.
The man does not respond. Let's flip to Corbin at the necromancy stone. You just blam a static amount. Necrotic damage just oozes into your frame. You take 30 necrotic damage right there.
Oh!
Fuck.
When Corbin hits things with his hand and he does inflict wounds, it's almost as if he's hitting himself, doing the same thing that he's done to so many foes.
Oh
my God.
He can't
stop it, and his flesh is just being pulled off his face. Horrid. Necrotic's gross.
Renaissance, that is the abjuration stone. You feel that you are stronger and more powerful. You now have a +2 bonus to your AC for the next 24 hours.
Wow, that's terrible. I can't believe
Whoa.
That happened to you.
Aww.
Poor
baby.
I scream. It hurts me. This is terrible.
And last but not least, our little friend Lulu, who stands next to the divination stone. She is screaming at the top of her lungs and pointing with her trunk at this guy. And she says, "He's enormous! Oh my gods, what are you?"
I draw Heaven's Fall.
Shing! You draw Heaven's Fall. In front of you, this person does not issue forth any kind of sound. Does not laugh. He does not snicker. He simply sighs and says,
"Oh, shit." Every time I try to do this, it just doesn't work. I guess I'm just fated to be like this.
Lulu is just screaming and backing away.
Show us what you are.
I don't think that you can take it.
Surprise me. I step in closer to him. I'm also going to lay hands on myself for 10 hit points.
He says,
"I am Ubalux."
And when he says that, his form shifts. It grows stupendously tall. Out of the back of his robes arch two bat wings that arch forward and outward to show his enormous might. He's about 15 feet tall. In one of his clawed hands, you see that he wields a sword made out of pure lightning.
Shadow and flame.
Exactly. And in the other, a whip made of fire itself. He has glowing eyes and horns that sprout out from a mane of silver-white hair. You can make a religion check.
Corbin rolled a 14 on his religion.
Only a 4 for Renaissance. He does not know.
Hylan got a 17.
However, does it look like the creature that Hylan was fighting in that drawing?
No, it does not. That one definitely did not have any implements. It just had claws.
Mm-hmm.
Hylan, of the four of you, you probably know what this thing is. It's not a devil, but it is a demon. It is a very powerful demon. A Balor.
I relay that information to everyone.
Well, we held up our end. Give us a name.
Ubalux looks down at at you, Renaissance, and says,
"As you did, let it not be said that Ubalux is not a creature of its word. I will give you a name, since the ritual which I so smartly tricked you into performing did not free me from this accursed prison. It was I that cleaved the hand from the ruler of this realm. It was I. It was mighty Ubalux, and for that I am what? I am a prisoner. A prisoner of this so-called Archduke. May she rot. The name of the being who may help you in this is another of these Archdevils, but you may not find him so easy to placate as I. You may find him at the Mirror of Mephistar."
I don't remember that being on our map. Is that on our map?
You have not seen anything indicating the Mirror of Mephistar on your map.
Right.
Okay. I unfurl the map below him. Show us.
He lowers his titanic hand and arches forth a taloned finger towards your map. And you watch as the map makes a little burn mark where his nail touches the paper. You quickly blow it out, otherwise the map would be incinerated. He points to a corner of the map, which seems to be an illustration of a mountain that has a face almost to it. You see sort of eyes that may be leaking lava or some kind of yellowish fluid.
Uh-huh.
He says,
"If your entreaty to..."
And he says this with a certain amount of gravity.
"Mephistopheles goes well. You may get more than you bargained for."
"Just looking for some Titan's blood. He's got it?"
"More than likely. What do you need it for?"
"That wasn't part of our deal."
"I am not a devil."
"Even so, not sharing more information than we have to."
It sort of chuckles and smoke comes out of its nose and he says,
"Fair enough, mortal.
I'd wish you good luck. It seems like whoever put you here put a lot of work into seeing you won't leave."
"She will eventually fall, for we are eternal."
"If you wished her to fall, how would you do it?"
"Devils find their own ends through politics and backstabbing. They make their own enemies through their own agency. The more they attempt to hold the forces of the Abyss back, the more they meddle in their own power and affairs. If I were a mortal wishing to end the reign of an Archduke, I would simply find a more powerful Archduke to take her place."
"Would anyone else like to discuss the finer points of infernal politics with our friend Ubalux? Or should we quit while we're way, way behind?"
"I think we should go."
"Yes, thank you. That was very interesting and very painful. Good day."
Ophelia doesn't thank him, but she will say, "Well, goodbye. We appreciate the information."
"If we ever meet again, remember we tried to help you."
You just Homer Simpson back up all the way to the...
100%.
To the war machine, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, Lulu is cowering there.
"Come on, Lulu. Come on, Lulu. Come here. Pat my thighs. Come on."
"She's not a dog."
"We're leaving."
"That was, shit."
"Well, we've got another destination, at least."
"Yeah, that could have gone worse."
"So it looks like we'd be wanting to head east, across this side of the Pit of Shumrath."
"Mm-hmm."
"Keep going east. We'll have to cross the Styx, but I guess we'll figure that out when we get there. Our best bet, at least as far as we can tell from the map, is to head east and keep the Pit of Shumrath on our right, at least for the first leg of the journey."
"Mm-hmm. All right, let's go."
"I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm pretty messed up."
"Yeah, I've been better."
"I can cure you. It's a new day. I got my cure wounds going on."
"We get a safe distance from the what have you." I gesture back towards the obelisk in the circle. "Just take maybe a short rest here before setting off."
"I think that's a good idea."
Yeah. "Maybe in the same spot, because that spot seemed okay."
"Yeah, back in the wagon. I've still got the alarm up around it, so."
"I guess we'll head back down to the same spot we were before to take a rest."
"I will cast Song of Rest so everyone can add an extra D6 to their short rest hit points if they're rolling hit die."
"Thank you."
Thanks for listening. This episode featured Tal Aviazer as Renaissance, Andy Canistra as Painbearer Corbin Shiv, Carolyn Fox as Hyland, Rachel Tamarin as Ophelia, and me, Matt Gordon, as the Dungeon Master. This episode was edited by Carolyn Fox and Tal Aviazer. Our original theme music is by Lauren Anker and Anthony DeMasso. If you enjoy Podcast Party, please follow the show, rate us, and leave us a review. Thanks very much for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks with the next episode of Descent into Avernus.
I confess that for over 2 years now, the like, ha ha ha, it's so funny how we can't clap in sync. I sit here stone-faced throughout that.
He's like, a humorless, it's funny, humorless right? Person.
I just can't wait for it to end and we can move on with our lives.
And then I asked him if he needed a hug or a snack or like a warm towel or something.
It's too late for me. Something in my childhood fine. That happened to me, obviously.
Yeah. Okay. So it's going to happen, Tulsa. Brace yourself.
Hug.
Hold on. It's going to be 1, 2, 3, clap, 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 giggle. So. Okay. 1, 2, 3. Oh, that was great. Okay.
You know what? I think I'm winning.